Farrell van der Westhuizen, welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure being here, and I always enjoy talking about things like this, and yes, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I've invited you because you are the main person here in Worcester involved in highway ministry. And highway ministry is an international movement, but let's just talk about Highway Ministry South Africa. And for those of you who are making notes, that's highwayministry.co.za. And Farrell, please outline how Highway Ministry got started in 1995, I think it was.
That was in 1995, yes. The actual vision bearer of Highway Ministries, Mr. Jan de Brein, who's situated in Heidelberg in Gauteng, he got the word, the Lord called him. He was editor of a very huge newspaper, and the Lord called him from there, and he gave him the scriptures and said, this is your calling. You go out and call people in from the roads onto the accident-prone South Africa, and you start ministering to the highways and the byways of this country. And that's how he came about to take it from there. And I'll tell you what, Jan was really running with what he started, and it's going strong at the moment. So that's about it in short. Yeah.
I'm almost embarrassed because it wasn't till I was talking to you just yesterday that I knew anything about it at all.
That's right.
Do you fly under the radar, or am I just not in the right circles?
Yeah. No, we tend to sort of keep it low profile. I did at this point in time. I really thought everybody knew what I was doing. But I was mostly doing things all myself because I never had help. I never had people come to say, really, can I join you? Can I join you? I've got no people really excited to go out and do what I do. And I've done most of this work I've done by myself. Here and there, people have come in to help. Yes, but that's it. I don't, at this point in time, stand on the corners and shout and say, listen, I'm Highway Ministries. No. But I've spoken about Highway Ministries in lots of the churches in Worcester, yes.
Actually, why don't you then tell us what your involvement is now in the ministry, the sort of scope of what you do?
All right. What we do is that we organize prayer meetings, and I've done a few of those in the city hall. I've done on the church square, and I have also done outreaches at the garages situated north and south of Worcester on the highway, because we, as far as prayer is concerned, we protect the N1 running through from the south right up to the north. And then the next partition, shall I say, of Highway Ministry takes over from there again. We guard the roads by way of prayer from here to try and make it a safe place to drive on. And my involvement is that I promote Highway Ministries as far as I can with the churches. I try and get the church communities involved in this, but as I say, they're not always prepared to come out and help us, but most of the ministers, the pastors here in Worcester, they know about me, and they always say, listen, can we help? Can we do this? Can we do that for you? But as I say, it takes a bit of time to really get Highway Ministries known under all spheres of the community.
Highway Prayer Patrol is sort of a project within Highway Ministries. Can you tell us about Highway
Absolutely,
Prayer Patrol?
Absolutely, yes. As I said now, we protect the roads by way of prayer, and Highway Prayer Patrol is that exactly that I said now, that we go out and we pray for people where we do our outreaches. I put up placards, I put up banners, and we make that a prayer point. At certain stages, like for instance at the Ultra Cities, we make that a prayer point. And when the trucks roll in for diesel, or when they come just for a stop, we normally go to the truck driver or the bus driver or even the taxi driver. We go there and we ask him, listen, are you all right? Has your road been safe so far? Where are you going to? And we ask him, does he know the Lord? Does his passengers know the Lord? Does he mind us giving him pamphlets? And we hand out pamphlets to these people. We hand out Bibles. We hand out all sorts of literature, Christian-wise, to try and get them involved in Christianity. Most of the truck drivers, I would say 9 out of 10 of the truck drivers, are so anxious to receive the Bibles that we do get to give them, because it's a special trucker's Bible that we give them with a piece every day in it, and they are so anxious to get hold of it. And most of them, I would say at least 50% of them, get out of the truck and say, listen, I'm going on my road, would you pray for me? And we actually pray for the driver right there where he is. Some would say, listen, can we go to your tent, or can we go to where you are set up? Can you really pray for us? And we anoint them, and we give them whatever they need. If they need a Bible, we'll give them another Bible and send them on the way. We also do that with taxi drivers, but we do find it's better speaking to the taxi passengers than speaking to the driver. They are always so busy counting their passengers, counting their money, that they don't always get involved. We've given them placards, we've given them literature, and they normally just throw it into the taxi and they, okay, I'll do that later on. But most of the passengers are so eager also to receive the Christian literature that we do give them. Yes, and prayer patrol is exactly what it is. We'll go from place to place and we'll pray for the people. And it doesn't have to be at an outreach. We can go there any time of the day, for instance, on a Sunday afternoon or on a Saturday or a Friday evening, go to the Alta City and just go walk around and say, listen, can I pray for you guys? I've done that with the truck stops here. I go there, and even the young ladies serving behind the counter at the kiosk, I go there, listen, are you not busy? Can I come in? Can I pray for you quickly? Yes, by all means, come and do that. And I've anointed the owners of these truck stops. I've prayed for them. Well, I don't know how many people we've prayed for already, and that we have already anointed. You do get different type of responses. People, as I said, are very eager to find it and receive it, but you also get those people that say, listen, please, that's not my thing. I don't want you to pray for me. I'm all right. Don't do it. But I know that once you think you're right, you're definitely not all right. But we have also had people that say, listen, I don't mind you praying for me, but stand there, but just don't touch me. So you get different kind of responses, and we accept it as it is. So, and if people really say, listen, I'm not in the Christianity thing, I said, thank you very much, but can I give you some literature? And we still hand him some literature. What I've also done with a bus driver of a big passenger bus, that he's actually come and said, listen, no, you don't pray for me. I said, can I get into the bus? I'll pray for the passengers. He says, no, don't come in, and I don't want that. So what I did, I took my anointing oil and I went around and I anointed the bus. I went right around the bus and I anointed the bus and I prayed for the bus and said, Lord, please keep them on the road, keep them safe. They know where they're going. So it's quite interesting, yes.
It sounds as if when I drive to Cape Town that somebody has probably prayed for that stretch of road or the drivers going along there. Is this so?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because what we have also done, and we've had some traffic officers come and sort of looked at us, you know, are we really crazy? Because we've run across the road and we've actually anointed the tarmac. And we poured out anointing oil on the tarmac itself. And we stood there in a row praying for the road itself to say, road, you will keep these people safe. So, yes. The roads you drive on are prayed for. All general traffic running on that road are being prayed for all the time, sir.
South Africa's road death statistics are high, and I know that's part of the reason that you do this, and this ministry exists, but it's less than a third of Zimbabwe's. They have 75 per 100,000 people killed in traffic accidents, and that's the number one country in the world. A little close for comfort, I think, here. And Africa is way the worst continent for traffic deaths. I don't know if you've ever heard or have any ideas as to why that may be. Is there something about Africa or something about the way driving is taught in Africa that means we have these dreadful statistics? Any ideas?
There are a couple of things that come to mind. As I said to you earlier, alcohol plays a bit of a role there, but I think the main thing is that schooling is the big thing, that that lags far behind. I don't think there are proper schooling as far as road, shall I say, rules are concerned. Because, I mean, you get people that really, they should pass another vehicle when the road is clear, when they can see far, and when they can see there are no other vehicles coming towards them. And then, if it's safe then go past. But what is happening now at the moment is that people really do pass on blind rises. They pass on blind corners. And I don't know whether they just think they can't see a vehicle coming and that's all right, now I can go. But I think there needs to be a huge amount more of schooling as far as road rules are concerned, how to read a road. Impatience is a big thing as well, specifically under a certain group of drivers, because he makes money. He drives like crazy to get to the other side, to offload his passengers, get them back here again, or get the taxi back here again to pick up his next load. So the more trips he can do, the more money he makes. And there are a lot of people that really don't get enough sleep. There should be a rule against people that don't sleep and really want to overdo it. But then also you get cars, taxis, buses, trucks that are totally not roadworthy. And that is also a big contribution towards road accidents. If you want to see some of the tires that people drive on, I mean, I won't even give that to a kid of mine to roll it around the yard like that, but leave alone still having it on a vehicle. So, yes, there are plenty of factors that really contribute towards road deaths. But I think schooling is a big, shall I say, a lack of what is happening here. There should be more schooling, absolutely.
We've been talking so far about traffic accidents insofar, you know, a car hits a truck or whatever. But a lot of people die on the roads who are cyclists and pedestrians. And is that part of the vision here for highway ministries as well, or is that a separate thing?
It sort of comes in as part of it because, as I said to you, when we pray for the road, in our prayers, there are always the pedestrian using the road. Some pedestrians just cross the road. They are totally unaware, oblivious of vehicles driving on that same piece of road. Some people, I've spoken to people already that said to me, listen, but I can cross the road because the cars can see me. I will cross. So, you know, if you go to that extreme to think other people will see you and I can just cross the road, then motorcycles, high speeds, a lot of accidents on motorcycles, and then cyclists. If you look in town, if you look on the highways, people with bicycles, they really go, they drive, or they cycle at night with dark clothing on, no lights, no reflectors.
On the wrong side of the road.
I mean, you've had the experience of that as well. So, yes, that happens. It's something to really look at and something to think of and something that gets you a bit agitated as well. So,
my next question, you've already answered to some degree, because I wanted to sort of take us on one of your night trips when you go out and give us a feel for what it would be like, how long you're out there for. Bearing in mind you've already given us answered some of that question.
Okay.
Just let's imagine that tonight you're going out. What would happen?
I would go out and set up. I put up a gazebo, provided the wind doesn't take me with him. And I'll put up a gazebo or a tent or a truck, and we'll go out, put out pamphlets, and then we'll start roaming through the cars that are there at the truck stops, at the Ultra Cities, at the garages, wherever, and we'll start praying for the people at their vehicles, or we'll invite them to us. And we have banners all over to say, we are praying for you, please come and pray with us. So we actually invite them. The banners are part of the invitation out to them. And if I can just quickly tell you what I did on Easter weekend this year when I was out at the Ultra City, I went there on the Thursday afternoon, just after 12 in the afternoon I went there. And I started setting up and I was there right through the night praying, and I had some ladies from town driving that couple of Ks out to the Alter City to come and sit and pray there for an hour or two. And I've had some of the pastors come out and help me there to pray. And I stood there the whole night, and I packed up the next day 2 o'clock. So, yes, we will go through the night and get things going. And because there are a lot of people, and you see the rush early in the evening, and then you'll find a slack, and then here from about 12 o'clock to about 2 o'clock in the morning, and you'll find that rush again. And then there's a bit of a slack, and then early morning from about 4 o'clock onwards, you'll find the rush again. So we try and get all of those into our prayer session that we're going out for. Yes.
Don't you ever sleep, Farrell? Because you get up pretty early in your day job.
Yes, I do that. I'm a very early go-to-bedder, if I can call it that. Yes, I go to bed early in the evenings. But from my years on the road, I can maybe tell you about that just now. That was my best time getting up in the mornings, 2 o'clock. And I'm still sort of into that groove of getting up in the mornings. Now I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm off to work at 4 o'clock. And that helps me go through a prayer evening like that, yes. So it's quite good.
I think you must now tell us what kind of work you're doing now.
All right. I'm with a transport company, and we also do storage, but we transport furniture. And our trucks run countrywide. We do furniture removals from one place to the other. And it's quite demanding work getting the logistics put together to see that your truck is on its way to Joburg with a full load, and to make sure that it's loading there again to come back on a full load. Because in today's economy, I don't think you can really afford to have a truck running empty one way or the other. Yes, so it's quite demanding to get up and go there, and that's why I do it in the quiet time of the morning. I also have my quiet time when I get to the office. Then once I've done that, I start and I sit and I put the paperwork together. I do their GPSs for them, and I get them going on the road. And like tomorrow morning, I'm picking up the first driver again at 5 o'clock. So then get the guys going out on the road. And yes, that's what I do these days. And it's sometimes a 24/7 job. And we try and work it to 5 days, and most of the time it's 6 days a week, yeah.
Coming back to highway ministry.
Yes.
Do you feel that what you're doing is primarily seeking to reduce accidents or to win salvations, or both?
Daniel, I would really say it's a question of doing both, because I think if the people see that you are praying for them as far as road safety are concerned, they really come to you and say, listen, wow, is this what you do? Can I also receive more of that, what you do? And by that way, then you start really phasing him in to ask him, do you know Jesus? Do you know what I'm talking about? This is what can happen to you. This is what you can be. And yes, we also do get, when we pray for them as far as road safety is concerned, we win a lot. And I would say salvation and accidents, or the prayer against road accidents, I would go hand in hand, yes.
Now, you're running an event on the 29th of November, just under a month's time, here in Worcester. It's a special event, and people need to hear about it. So why don't you tell them about that?
Absolutely. All right. First of all, I want to tell you how this came about. On the 2nd of May this year, 2 o'clock in the morning, I just sat up and the Lord put a picture in my head. Like, whoop, the picture is there. The time, the date, the place, everything. And he gave me the sports grounds up against the N1. And since I've been running around trying to organize this, or not even trying, I just went and I asked, listen, can we get the school grounds, because normally we pay for that school grounds for the hiring of that evening. And when I got there, what is it you want it for? And I said, this is for a prayer meeting. It's yours, free of charge. I'm not paying for the grounds. I'm getting everything that I need, and people are just coming in. People are sponsoring And yes, everything is going well. So I do believe that I heard right that the Lord gave me this. Because as my pastor at church says, if it doesn't come from the Lord, you will meet a wall in front of you every time. The doors will close. And not one door has closed as yet. So the 29th of November, we are meeting at 6 o'clock in the evening. There's going to be a couple of pastors praying, leading the prayer. And I'm really hoping that we will get close to about 5,000 people on that ground that evening, because this is going wide on air. The gospel stations in Cape Town and surrounds Worcester everywhere, they are broadcasting it. People from Joburg are phoning me regarding this. People from Cape Town are phoning me. And yes, the schools are even putting it on their websites. The churches are putting it on their websites. It's running on the PowerPoints of all the churches. So thank you for that. It's going, and I'm excited. And I've had two huge banners made that will really be seen from far. And I do think that people will be attracted by the banners, because there's a couple of gospel singers that are going to perform that evening. There are a couple of people doing the speeches. Our vision bearer, Mr. Jan de Bruyn, is coming down from Gauteng as well. He will be doing a short speech telling everybody about Highway Ministries there as well. And yes, I'm just looking forward to a good evening. We should be finished within about 2 hours, 6 o'clock to about 8 o'clock in the evening. We should be finished. And we're having a couple of snacks being sold there, and that money that we make from that is going for Bible distribution again. And yes, so the people must really come and join us. And don't say you've got to go and make supper. There's something there to eat, so, and there's something to drink there. Come and join us and really make yourself part of that evening and receive your blessings that evening, because I think this is what's going to happen there. Blessings are going to be there, and I'm sure that the Lord will be there, the centerpiece of that piece of ground for that evening.
Farrell, you weren't always a child of God. How did you get hooked in?
You know, you ask me that, and I'm straight thinking now back in my years at school. I remember my late mother always used to say to people when they ask her, what do you think your son is going to be one day? My son will be a minister. And I said, yeah, you know, and all right, now I never got that far. Because I think the Lord takes you on byways and takes you around circles and takes you through very deep waters. And I went through very, very deep waters. And the Lord really lifted me out of that. And then when I thought about myself, because I knew the Lord, you know, I know of him. Let me put it that way. And I thought I was really a Christian because I grew up in a Christian house. But then in 1999, I really had that unforgettable meeting with the Lord. And it is absolutely something that you cannot forget. And shortly after that, I was baptized and I was hooked, and that was it. Since then, I've been running Akis, and I went to disciple school for a while. I didn't finish my pastoral studies, but yes, I do a lot of outreaches. I do a lot of evangelism. I preach now and again at churches, and yes, I do quite a bit of outreach, and that's my passion at this moment. So, and that's me. I'm a totally hooked child of God.
Now, you have something in this ministry that allows you to have a special affinity for truck drivers. You were one.
Absolutely. I was a truck driver for about 7 years, and while doing the truck driving, the Lord spoke to me, and in the very beginning of my truck driving season, shall I call it, the Lord spoke to me one morning and said, listen, I want you to minister on the roads, on the highways, on the N1 mostly, where you go, but when you drive on the N3 or when you drive on whichever road, N2 or wherever you go, you must minister, because this is what I'm looking at, because I want to curb the AIDS spreading on the N1. And that is where I started, because I started looking at something that I could distribute, and I put a pamphlet together. And I did this under the name of Wheels for Jesus. And I had this big banner, or shall I say sticker, across the top part of my windshield. And my truck was really blazing out Wheels for Jesus. And I went from place to place wherever I drove, because I did the N1 from Cape Town to Joburg about 3 times a week, up and down. And it was so much better to connect to the other truck drivers, because me being a truck driver, you could easily speak the language of the other truck driver, and you could get closer to them, and they accept you more than what they will accept a guy from outside. So yes, I can talk about experience from truck to truck evangelism, from truck to truck caring for people, talking to people. And I mean, I can write a book of what the Lord has done for me on the roads to tell me, listen, that person, just go and speak to him. Just give him something. Just go and pray for him. Do this. And he sent me into truck stops already where he says, go and pray at that kiosk. That man, tell him, I see that he loves me, and pray for him. And yes, I can tell you many stories about that. So it's in those 7 years that I did the truck driving, I did a lot of ministries. I did a lot of evangelism, reaching out, handing out pamphlets, because all those I did out of my own pocket, just for the love of the spreading of the word of the Lord. So, yes, and I know that went from pillar to post, from town to town. They know about me. People wrote about the story in newspapers, and yes, that was a good part of my life. But that is now past. Now I'm sitting in the office now, doing that piece and getting my drivers going out. And yes, thank you. That was very nice.
Farrell van der Vesthuizen, thank you so much for giving me some of your time, because I know you don't have too much spare time, all these things in your life. So thank you for coming on to CWCP Radio. And we should perhaps admit that we're neighbors.
Absolutely.
Although we haven't spent too much time together past, but yeah, That's going to change, I hope.
Yes, absolutely.
So bless you and your family and this wonderful work that you do.
Thank you ever so much, and on your side as well, and to all the listeners, God bless you, and go well, and just remember, when you go out on the roads, please start thinking by way, road safety starts with me, and if everybody thinks that way, the road will be a better place and a safer place. Keep well, God bless.